Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God with us today. Will you open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, as we continue our discussion of the subject of fasting, the study of which we began in our last time together. Today, we want to examine with you the purpose of fasting. We have established by looking at the Word of God that fasting is a procedure that is recognized in the Word of God, that there are three kinds of fasting: abstinence from food, abstinence from food and drink, abstinence from special kinds of food. Now, we want to know what is the purpose. Let us bow our heads together and ask God to help us in our understanding of His Word today. Once again, dear Lord, we come to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thanking You for the privilege which is ours of gathering round the Word of God. We would thank You today, Father, for supplying the financial need of this radio ministry, that these messages might continue to come forth. And because the need is always there, we do ask that Thou wilt meet the need daily, that we might not lose one moment of precious time in the study of the Word. Help us to understand this portion of the Word at which we look today. Then grant, dear Lord, we pray, the meeting of every need of every waiting heart. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin today our study of the purpose of fasting, we're going to begin with the Old Testament by pointing out to you that some fasting was entered into in order to gain the repentance of God. Now notice what I'm saying, please. Not the repentance of the sinner, but the repentance of God. The word repentance simply means a change of mind. Some experiences of fasting in the Old Testament were entered into for the purpose of causing God to change His mind. Before you reject that idea, for purposes that I suspect some of you are thinking about this very moment, I would like for you to notice with me what is said in the book of Jonah. Jonah, the prophet of God, remember, had been sent to Nineveh to prophesy the destruction of the city. When the king of Nineveh heard Jonah's message, he immediately fasted and called for a fast among his people. And the intent of it is described in the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Now notice carefully verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? This time of fasting did change the mind of God, much to the disappointment of Jonah, you will remember, because God withheld his hand of judgment because people fasted and prayed. I would like for you to look with me at another passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 16 and through 22. You will recall that David had married Bathsheba, and to that union was born the child of an adulterous relationship. Because God needed to chasten them, notice, chasten them, not the child, because God needed to chasten them, in verse 15, Nathan came to the palace and gave them a message, especially to David, concerning his guilt of sin. Then you read, that the Lord struck the child that Bathsheba bare to David, and the child was very, very sick. God laid his hand upon the child. Though David was the father, this woman was still in God's sight the wife of Uriah. Though David was the father, she was the wife of Uriah, and the conception was accomplished without the kind of marriage which God approves. The child was conceived in adultery. Now, God, and I want to emphasize this, had to chasten David, so he caused the child to become ill. I can almost hear somebody saying, but that's so unreasonable, and it's so unfair. Why punish the child because of the father? He didn't. He was going to punish David, chasten David, by taking away from him the thing that was dearest to his heart. And when you remember that children, immediately upon leaving this world, are in the presence of the Lord, in a most blessed place, you couldn't call it punishment for the child. But we are interested in David's attitude. So we read here in 2 Samuel 12, verse 16, David, therefore, besought God for the child. David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. He fasted, he prayed all night long. The Lord saw fit to take the child anyway. Notice what I'm saying to you. God did not repent of his intention. God did repent of his intention to destroy the city of Nineveh because people fasted and prayed. Here David fasted and prayed, but God did not repent of his intention to take the child. When the message was given to David that the child was taken, David arose and washed himself and prepared to eat and mystified his attendants. When they were seeking an explanation for his strange action, the child was dead. Why was he acting like everything was all right? He said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David did not know, when he began to fast and pray, whether God would change his mind about the child or not. So he fasted and he prayed. But when God did not see fit to change his mind, David said, there is no need to grieve. I know where the child is. I will go to him. Now, as I said, you probably are a bit puzzled because of what I've been saying to you, that you can fast and you can pray, and sometimes God will repent, and sometimes he will not. And you may be puzzled because you are familiar with what is recorded in the Epistle of James, among other places, where we are told that with God there is no change, no turning, no shadow of turning, no variableness. God does not repent. In chapter 11 of the book of Romans, we are told that the characteristic of non-repentance on the part of God is a reality. God does not repent. Well, does the Scripture contradict itself? Am I contradicting this character of God? No. I think it's important for you to keep in mind that God has established a principle concerning his right to repent, and whenever we are talking about the repentance of God, it is necessary for us to keep in mind that principle. It is contrary to the character of God for him to repent, but he does reserve the right to repent when he feels that he should. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles, to the book of Jeremiah, that you might notice this principle and fix it firmly in your minds. You may want to mark this passage of Scripture so that you will be better able to remember it. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 7, at what instant God says, I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning kingdom, to pluck it up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced this judgment turn from their evil way, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. You see what God is saying? God is saying, if I decide that a nation or an individual needs to be chastened, if that individual or nation repents, I reserve to myself, the right to nullify my intended action if I so choose. Now, God does not always choose to nullify his action. He does not always choose to repent, but sometimes he does. So, there's nothing wrong with talking about God changing his mind when men humble themselves, when they fast, and when they pray. Now, a question that is in the minds of many is, well, if we don't know what God is going to do, what is the point? What is the point of praying? What is the point of fasting? My answer to that, dear one, is simply this. God said it. You heard me read it just a few seconds ago. If we humble ourselves and pray, if we fast, indicating our humility before the Lord, the mind of God can be changed when it pleases him to do it. David had the right attitude. He said, I've sinned. There's no question about it. I deserve the judgment of God. But I know that God is a God of grace, and I never know when he's willing to show forth his grace. So I will meet all the conditions so that if God wants to bestow his grace, he can. That's what the Word of God means when it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. God waits that he may be gracious, that we might all meet his conditions in humility and faith, that the Lord could bless us richly as he desires to do.